Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, your weekly guide through matters crucial to families and the preservation of traditional values in the Commonwealth and beyond. Archives of this and past shows are available at afaofpa.org. Now your host, a dedicated advocate for family values and the director of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania, Diane Gramley.
Is a special time when Christians remember those who have given their lives for the advancement of the gospel. This month, we hope you will be inspired by their faithful witness committing to share Christ boldly in your own community. My guest today is Todd Nettleton. He's Vice President of Message for the Voice of the Martyrs, USA, host of the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, and author of When Faith is Forbidden, 40 Days on the Front Lines with Persecuted Christians, winner of the Christian Book Award for 2022 in the category of biography and memoir. And I believe I interviewed you, I can't remember exactly when that was, but I interviewed you about that book. So anyway, thanks, Todd, for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So June 29th is the day of the Christian martyr. Why was that day chosen?
Well, June 29th is significant. According to historians, that is the date that the Apostle Paul was beheaded outside the city of Rome. So if you're thinking about a day to honor those who literally laid down their lives for the cause of Christ, kind of tagging it to the Apostle Paul is a pretty good place to start.
Absolutely. And this year, the focus is on the story of Perpetua. She was martyred in a Roman arena in Carthage, which is modern-day Tanzania, in 203 AD. Give us some of her story.
Yeah, Perpetua, really an amazing example. She was 22 years old. She was a wife, she had a baby, and she was a follower of Jesus Christ. And the orders were given, you know, you will worship the Roman gods. You will offer sacrifice for the good of the emperor. And Perpetua said, no, I will not. I am a Christian. I will not worship the Roman gods. Because of that, she was thrown in jail. She was put on trial and eventually sent to the arena. There's a couple of really interesting things about Perpetua's story. One is, she kept a journal while she was in prison that survived, that was protected by other Christians. It was passed on through generations. It is actually one of the very first examples in history of a woman's writing that is still preserved today. So it's one of the earliest examples of a woman writing something down that we still have. A couple other amazing things about her story. Her father actually came to the prison with her baby and basically said, Perpetua, like, do what they want you to do. You know, light a candle, say the words. You don't even have to mean it, but just say it and then come home and raise your son. And Perpetua said, Father, I'm a Christian. I cannot do that. I will not do that. Even knowing that she was forfeiting the right to raise her son. Mm-hmm. And then a third thing, in the arena, she was attacked first by kind of an ox, and then eventually killed by a gladiator. But the ox sort of knocked her down. It tore her clothes. And she, you know, carefully adjusted her robe to protect her modesty. And then she asked for a hairpin. And as a man, I kind of look at that and like, why are you worried about your hair at a time like that?
Uh-huh, yeah.
But in that culture, to have your hair down, to have your hair disheveled, that was a sign of mourning and grief.
Wow.
And Perpetua wanted it to be very clear to the people in the arena watching her that she was not mourning. She was excited to go to heaven to meet her heavenly bridegroom. And so she literally kind of stopped the festivities and asked for a hairpin and fixed her hair back up so that it would be clear she was not in mourning, and then continued on. And actually at the end, literally guided the hand of her killer to her throat and gave up her own life in the arena, encouraging the other Christians who were with her all along, hey, stand strong. You know, you can do this. We must stand for Christ. Just an amazing hero of the faith. And like I say, 22 years old, and yet such a heroic figure.
That really offers a real challenge to parents, because she left, as you said, she left behind that infant son to be raised by someone else. She could have thought, well, I can do what my father wants and not mean it, and I can raise my son to become a Christian. Now she's leaving her son to be raised by those who worship Roman gods. So how can a parent fathom that. It's hard to fathom that. I mean, I've got five kids, and it would be very hard to do what she did as a parent.
It is very hard to think about. Yeah. And, you know, I think many parents today will do anything for their children. So sometimes you might even think they go too far to make life easy for their children and to give their children every advantage and every possible, you know, good thing that they can possibly do. And certainly we want to be good parents. We want to do a good job raising our children. But that question of what if God asks me to do something that's not necessarily good for my children? Mm-hmm. Do I trust God to be able to fill in that gap? Do I trust God to be able to look after my children if I can't, because I take a stand for him? And, you know, as we think about Perpetua, obviously she gave her life. She couldn't raise her son. I think about the founders of the Voice of the Martyrs, Richard and Sabina Wormbrand. Yeah. Both of them went to prison. They left their son out of prison, and he was lived on the streets for a number of months during the time in prison. There were other Christians that kind of tried to help look after him, but they couldn't necessarily take him into their homes. Otherwise, they would get arrested as well. And so I think about their sacrifice. And I think that's one of the things that Perpetua's story really challenges us as parents. And now I'm a grandparent. As a grandparent, do I want to do what's best for my son, for my grandson? Or do I want to do what's best for the kingdom of God, even if it might cost my son or my grandson? Mm-hmm. That's a hard internal conversation for us to have as parents.
It absolutely is. Now, this took place 203 AD in what is now Tanzania. Have you ever been there? And is there still persecution of Christians going on in Tanzania today?
I have been to Tunisia. In fact, I have stood in the arena where Perpetua gave her life. It's interesting. You would think that it would be a big tourist site. You know, you have this ancient martyr, very famous martyr. Why wouldn't the government want people to go there? Well, Tunisia is an Islamic government, and they don't necessarily want to promote the site of a Christian martyrdom. Right. And so thankfully, I was with a pastor, and he knew right where it was. He could take us right there. But it is not a big tourist attraction. It's not something they really promote in Tunisia. There is still persecution there today. And in fact, I met with Tunisian Christians. I heard stories of oftentimes their own family. That's usually the first line of persecution. If you come to faith in Tunisia, it's going to be your dad. It's going to be your big brother. It's going to be an uncle who comes to you and says, listen, we are a Muslim family. And now you say you're not a Muslim anymore. Well, then you're not part of our family. We don't have a place for you. And so they make that sacrifice, and in that culture, in that context, your family connections are your future. Your family connections provide you with educational opportunities, with job offers, the chance to get married. They will help you find a spouse. When they say you're not part of our family anymore, you are giving up your future and really giving it up to the Lord and saying, hey, okay, Lord, I trust you to provide my future because my family's cutting me off. And, you know, one of the things we heard, I talked to a Tunisian pastor, and one of the things he said, and I think I'll always remember this, he said, we, the church, have to become the family for those new believers because they are losing their earthly families. So we have to be ready to say, hey, come sleep on my couch. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, I know somebody who you might want to marry. I can help you find a job. We have to be ready to be their families because they are likely to lose their earthly family when they choose to follow Christ.
And that's a big sacrifice. And you mentioned jobs because they also could lose their jobs, as you said. So the church in those countries where persecution of Christians is rampant, really, the church has to step up. How about some of the other countries like, I'm kind of probably going to butcher this, Kazakhstan, that person, one of those stand countries there. I never get right that one.
One of the stands.
Right, exactly.
Jan.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
Kazakhstan is one of the former Soviet republics, and just last month, a church there was raided. They were holding a meeting in, it's not in the capital city. There are churches in the capital city that are allowed to meet, but this was in another city, kind of out of the way. and the church was raided. Now, interestingly, they brought in about 10 police officers, but they did not end the service. They let the service finish, and then they stood up and said, hey, what you're doing here is illegal. They let the mothers with children were allowed to leave. Everybody else was told to stay put. At the end of the day, 15 church members have been charged, including their pastor. We had a Voice of the Martyrs contact that was in the city, was with this group of charged Christians just last week, and was able to encourage them and pray with them and let them know, hey, we are praying for you. There are American Christians are praying for you. They don't know exactly what's going to happen. The charge against them is performing religious rites in a location that's not registered with the government. So the government wants to say, hey, you can only do religious things in a officially registered religious building, and here you guys are doing them someplace else. It's not registered. You don't have permission. It's going to be interesting to see how that trial goes, what they end up facing. But they are asking us to pray for favor with the court process so that they will not be sent to prison.
That's for sure. So they were not registered. So was it the local police? Did someone, you probably don't know, but was it someone who squealed, so to speak, and informed the police that these folks were meeting in an unregistered location? Do you know any of the background?
It actually does. That seems to be exactly mm-hmm. it. Apparently, a call went into the Kazakhstan version of 911 saying, hey, there's a meeting going on. I don't think these people have permission. So that's one of the interesting questions about this is who made that phone call? Was it a neighbor that somehow got offended? Was it someone else? Or has somebody been watching for a chance to create problems for this church? And this just was the day.
Yeah.
We don't know the answer to that.
Because many times there's a spy, so to speak, who shows interest in, because I read y'all's magazine, so that's why I know this. Spies are sometimes sent into, or maybe an individual spy sent into a religious or Christian gathering to spy out and then informs the police. But again, like I said, I read y'all's magazine, so that's where I got that information.
Yeah, it absolutely does happen, and it's one of the things I think for us as American Christians that is hardest to understand about what our persecuted brothers and sisters face. When someone new shows up at our mm-hmm. church, we say, oh, this is great. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. When someone new shows up at a church in a hostile or restricted nation, they kind of have to start asking some questions like, oh, how did you hear about our church and what are you doing here? And sometimes they don't even come to a gathering with multiple people until weeks or months of meeting one-on-one with somebody first so that they can kind of suss out, is this person legitimate? Are they genuinely interested in faith? Are they just here to make trouble? Are they a spy? Like I say, it's hard for us to even fathom the process that goes that our brothers and sisters go through in a place like Kazakhstan or Iran or other places where persecution is so common.
Yeah, it is hard. It's hard for us to wrap our heads around that. How about Sudan? Do you have an update on Sudan?
Yeah, there are five pastors that have been summoned to court in Sudan. They are charged with sharing the gospel with Muslims. They are charged with being spies. Mm. Interestingly, so they were scheduled to go to court on June 16th, but their date of their hearing was delayed. And we don't know exactly why. We don't know why that delay happened. I hope it means that the judge is kind of saying, hey, wait, this makes no sense. There's no evidence against these pastors. So that's one possibility. It's also possible it's just something happened and it was delayed. So we're waiting to hear when that new court date will be. Interesting point for us at Voice of the Martyrs and for some of our listeners who have followed Voice of the Martyrs, one of the pastors is a man named Brother Kua, who was imprisoned with my VOM coworker, Peter Yasek. He spent 14 months in prison in Sudan. Pastor Kua was with him part of that time.
Wow.
Pastor Kua was actually released when they figured out that while Peter had been in Sudan, the events for which he was charged, Pastor Kua had actually been out of the country. So even the Sudanese government had to admit, well, you probably weren't part of any criminal activity when you weren't even in the country.
Right.
So thankfully, I believe he was held for about 4 months while they got that all figured out. And then they released him. Peter was subsequently sentenced to life in prison, which for Sudan is 20 years. but thankfully was later released and returned home to the Czech Republic. But we're waiting to see. These charges are concerning because we've got five pastors waiting to hear what's going to happen to them.
And of course, that's a Muslim majority country, Sudan, correct?
Yeah, heavily Muslim majority. And also right now you're in the midst of basically a civil war. So you have a Muslim government that's opposed to the church. You also have two sides fighting each other, both of which are Islamist-leaning or Islamic-leaning. And so the Christians there really are in a lot of danger. And in fact, tens of thousands of Sudanese Christians have fled further south. They've tried to get out of Khartoum, out of some of the areas where the fighting is the fiercest. These pastors had that opportunity and made the choice, hey, I'm going to stay here. This is where my church is. This is where my flock is. I'm going to stay and continue in the ministry. And now they seem to be facing charges for that.
That in itself is something hard for us to wrap our heads around. So a pastor here in the United States doesn't face anything like that. So they don't have to make the decision because we're not in the middle of a civil war at this point. So these pastors had the opportunity to leave and they chose not to. They are in Sudan because their church, their flock was there and they want to continue encouraging them. And that's a challenge to any pastor in any of these countries where the persecution of Christians is so rampant. I thought the civil war in Sudan had at least it's off the news, feed, so we don't even know there's still a civil war going on in Sudan. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is still going on. Their two sides are fighting for control. It some days it's more of a hot war, and some days it's a little more of a cold war, but it is definitely still going on and has not been decided who's going to be in charge going forward.
Wow. So China, of course, China's in the news all the time. And I know that, communist countries, communist leaders in general hate Christians, hate religion in general. So what's going on in China right now?
Well, we have talked before about Early Rain Covenant Church. This is a church, their founding pastor, Pastor Wang Yi, is currently serving a 9-year prison sentence. So their church was raided in December of 2018. He was locked in jail. Since then, their church has continuously been under pressure from the Chinese government. And there's different ways that they connect up with each other. Sometimes they'll meet in a public park. Sometimes they'll meet online, but at least once a month, they try to gather and have communion. Mm. And so sometimes that means they can't meet in the city where their church is based because all of them are being watched there. So just a couple weeks ago, they arranged for this communion service, this monthly service in a town about 100 miles away from Chengdu, which is the town where the church is based. So they literally drove 100 miles to be able to meet together, to be able to hold a communion service. But the police raided their communion service and brought between 60 and 70 police officers. They brought a SWAT team. They brought religious affairs officials. I mean, they really treated it like it was some big criminal activity that was going on.
In their eyes, it was criminal activity.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in their eyes,
well,
it was criminal.
That's true. They behaved as if it was some kind of armed criminal terrorist group, really it was some Christians having communion together. They initially detained more than 30 people after the service, and at the end of the day, so everybody got interrogated, everybody got their IDs photographed, they were photographed, their names, all their information was written down. At the end of the day, they let everybody go except two leaders of the service. And so those two were put on what they call administrative detention. Now, in China, you can be held for up to 15 days with no charges, no appearance before a judge. That's administrative detention. That 15 days is actually up today. We should hear in the next day or so whether they got released or they got charged. I would anticipate there will be charges against them, but this is just an ongoing saga for this church. And, I think about these brothers and sisters who have committed, we want to get together and have communion once a month, and they are willing to do whatever it takes. They're willing to drive 100 miles. They're willing to set up a meeting in a completely different city because that's what it's going to take for them to be able to gather and fellowship and take the Lord's Supper together. I hope we had communion in my church yesterday, and I hope when we have communion, we think about what it means to be a part of the body of Christ and what some of our brothers and sisters will do to celebrate something that sometimes we take for granted.
Oh, we very much so. And in general, we here in America, we take our freedoms for granted and don't or can't understand, can't comprehend the Christians that are being persecuted and their faith. And I wonder whether we here in America, if we Christians here in America faced such persecution, would we be able to stand? But really not challenged in too many cases as Christians. That's one thing I love about Voice of the Martyrs in your magazine you get every month, and the stories you tell about the sacrifices, but yet the faith that the Christians maintain. They maintain that faith. So you are the host of VOM Radio. What are you going to be talking about in the coming weeks?
Well, I would encourage people. We just had a lady named Maya, and it's available on the website. It's available in the podcast stream. But she is the widow of a pastor from Turkmenistan.
Another one of those stand countries.
Yes, another one of those stand. Her husband was put in prison, and we had him on a website called prisoneralert.com. And she talked in the interview, she talks about the letters that came to him at the prison. Prisoneralert.com is a website that helps you write letters to Christians who are in prison for their faith. It actually translates the letter into the language of the prisoner. It gives you the postage information, the address of the prison, everything you need to know to send that letter. And she said one day as her husband was in prison, the custodian of the prison came up to him and said, "Hey, you're getting a lot of mail. You're getting mail from all over the world." And her husband, the pastor, was never allowed to get the mail. He never got to read the letters. He never got to see the letters. But she said he was so encouraged to know that he was not alone and he was not forgotten in that Turkmenistan prison. But people were praying for him. People were writing letters to him. The other thing she said that happened, she said his prison sentence was for 4 years. He ended up being released after 1 year and 8 months.
Wow.
And she thinks, and I think, part of that is, hey, this is a case that's getting international attention. Look, this guy's getting mail from America and Australia and the United Kingdom. He's well known. Mm-hmm. This is creating a PR problem for us. Let's go ahead and let him go.
Wow.
And so she was so thankful, and there's a part in the interview where I said, hey, some of our VOM Radio listeners are people who wrote those letters. Why don't you just talk to them right now? And she just thanked them from her heart. Thank you for not forgetting us in our time of trouble. And it's a blessing. It was a blessing to me, and I think it'll be a blessing for our listeners as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one thing. To be forgotten or to think you've been forgotten is probably the hardest thing for these persecuted Christians who've been arrested and are in prison, awaiting who knows, you know, what end. And getting those letters would be an encouraging, even though you said he wasn't even able to read them or even see them. He just got the word that there was lots of letters addressed to him. And just that in itself, that's neat.
He just got the word. And I so agree. I think it is one of Satan's biggest lies to persecuted Christians is, hey, you're all alone mm-hmm. here. Nobody cares about you. Nobody knows you're here. Nobody remembers you. And so when those letters start showing up, and in this case, when the prison cleanup guy stops by his cell and says, hey, man, there's a lot of mail for you.
Mm-hmm.
That was a rebuke to Satan to say, no, you're not forgotten and you're not alone. There are brothers and sisters around the world who do remember you.
You mentioned prisonalert.com. About how many Christians are listed on that website right now? Do you know?
Well, I just checked last week as we were putting that episode to bed. There are 19 Christians currently on Prisoner Alert. We mentioned Early Rain Covenant Church earlier. Pastor Wong Yi is one of those prisoners. So he is listed on the site. You can write him a letter, print it out in Chinese, and send it off to him in China. We know this makes a difference for prisoners. When the letters start coming, yes, there's a sense of encouragement, but it also results in them being treated better mm-hmm. because the guards, the warden know, hey, this prisoner must have some pull. Look, they're getting mail from America. They're getting mail from Europe.
Right.
They must know people. We better make sure they get enough to eat. We better make sure they survive their time in prison. So it really produces some really practical blessings for these brothers and sisters when that mail starts coming.
That's good. What is the overall website for Voice of the Martyrs? What's the website?
Persecution.com is the website for Voice of the Martyrs. Easy one to remember, persecution.com.
Fantastic. I know I think it's a 2-minute, 38-second video that you guys put together about Perpetua, and I encourage folks to go and watch that video. It's very powerful. So thanks, Todd, for being with us. And thanks, you know, all you guys at Voice of the Martyrs for the wonderful work you do to keep us aware that there are Christians around the world who are being persecuted and that we here in America have a role to play in helping them through, like, you know, writing letters to those in prison and praying for them. That's extremely important, too. So I just thank you guys for your efforts and for helping educate us on the persecuted church. I really appreciate that.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I always look forward to our conversations.
Okay, you take care. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, you too.
Thank you for joining us on American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. Please note that the views and opinions expressed by our guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the AFA of Pennsylvania. We value your opinions as well. To continue the conversation, visit afaofpa.org, where you'll find links to all our social media. If you're passionate about defending traditional values in our state, we invite you to get involved with the American Family Association of Pennsylvania. Visit our website at afaofpa.org or write P.O. Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania 16323 to learn more and to take action. Together, we can make a difference for the families and the future of Pennsylvania.